Turn in your Bibles again back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And we are going to be addressing a topic that has burdened me that I think is one of the most important issues that we could talk about in our society today. And I think as soon as I mention this, you're going to feel immediate conviction. And that is the subject of making oaths. Feel convicted yet? I can see it on your faces. You're already thinking back this last week. Oh, he caught me again. Made an oath and didn't follow through on it. For those of us that even know what the oath is, and if you don't, we'll explain that tonight. It is something, obviously being a little sarcastic here, spiritual sarcasm, it is one of those things that's not really on our radar, and yet as we go through this tonight explaining what Jesus is talking about here, you might find that you maybe need some help in this area, but then we're going to broaden this out to another application that all of us would agree we definitely need to be careful with and is definitely something that we do not see in our society today that we as believers need to be a good example of, and that's just plain honesty. And so tonight we're going to be looking at a commitment to honest living. Jesus is going to continue to emphasize here outer actions that either do or do not represent well the citizens of the kingdom. This is one of those things that Jesus is going to point out as a negative, saying this is not a good representation of a citizen of the kingdom. And we're going to talk about oath-taking and what that means, but more importantly, the underlying attitude of honesty that really is needed as much ever in our world today. In this world of disinformation, even as we talked about this morning. It's kind of a tie-in. We talked about the truth and being truthful this morning, and now we get to talk about that tonight as well. Dishonesty and distortion of truth are tools of the evil one, and they should not be a part of a believer's life. So let's read this together. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil, or of the evil one. Let's pray. Father, this issue of oath-taking may be something that seems maybe not as applicable to us today, and maybe a little distant from what we face in our everyday lives, and yet we're going to see that it is important that Jesus includes this, that your Son included this in his Sermon on the Mount to be a reminder to us to live by our word, to keep our promises, and to live honest lives. So help us, Lord, even as we look at this tonight, to be people that represent truth and represent honesty well, as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We need your help for this as well. And so we ask for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm certainly, after this warning, not going to swear an oath of this message being a little bit shorter than it normally is, but there's a good possibility because it's a simple concept here, but I won't promise anything because you never know. Even a small passage in the hands of the right preacher can go on forever. So I don't think that will happen tonight, though. But this whole idea of oath-taking, why is it such a big deal? Why, in the midst of these important things that Jesus is bringing up, would he even bring this up at all? Well, Jesus is really pointing to the aspect of oaths as committed promises. And he's pointing out that committed promises are very serious matters before God. In verse 33, again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time. Remember again, that is even more so in this instance. It's Old Testament scripture that rabbis and different religious leaders have commented on through the years. And now their opinions have almost been esteemed as important as Scripture itself. And Jesus is saying, these leaders, these rabbis, have said this over a period of time. And in this instance, says they say, thou shalt not forswear thyself, or has the idea of swearing falsely, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Or the idea of, you shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. What is an oath, simply? In the Old Testament, it's calling God as a witness to your honesty. To make a matter so serious that you are pledging your honesty and you're saying, before God, I will do this thing. As you can imagine, that's a very, very serious action that the Old Testament says that God takes very seriously. In fact, let's look at just one passage. There's many passages in the law where God refers to oath-taking. Turn quickly to Numbers chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. Numbers chapter 30. And let's see what God required of his people in this idea of oath-taking. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. This is a command. Take this seriously. Listen, Moses is saying. If a man vow a vow or swear unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, or bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Now, we would understand, at least I would hope, that making a promise is a serious commitment. I would hope that even when, as we're talking about the idea of promises, that we at least all have the groundwork that if you're going to make a promise, that's important. You need to keep it. Sometimes we have to break our promises, and I'll get more into that in a little bit about what we do at our house in regards to promises, because it is a big deal. But this idea of oath-taking is very much more serious than just a mere promise. And that's why it's addressed here. A man would vow to the Lord or swear an oath or bind himself by a pledge. He would commit himself to his honesty in front of God to let people know that he was serious about this. And God says, if you're going to do that, you need to take it seriously. To the point where there were judgments that were announced in Scripture in the Old Testament for those that would break their vows. And so it was a very serious thing that Moses and the people of Israel were supposed to take seriously. On Wednesday nights, we've been looking through the passages in the book of Judges on Jephthah. And if you're not with us and you know anything about Jephthah, he got himself in serious trouble. He was a man that was very verbal and very skilled verbally, but that also got him into trouble. As he went into battle, he too quickly made a rash or a quick vow before God, very foolishly, and offered to God to offer up a sacrifice of whoever or whatever would come out the door first when he came home. Now, there's a lot to that. If you want to know more about that, then come Wednesday nights. This next Wednesday, we're studying specifically about what that all means. But there's an understanding that Jephthah's vow was very serious. An oath he took before God that he needed to follow through on, although not in the way that he did. It's very serious. And since taking an oath in the Lord's name was so binding, as we saw there in the book of Numbers, what would happen was over the years, the religious leaders would help people, and they would come up with ways that you could appear honest or take an oath, but then you could eventually back out of it if something happened and you weren't able to perform that vow or that oath. The effort was made then over the years, and by the time Jesus is addressing this, people were trying to see how close to an oath one could get in order to appear trustworthy without being liable for their oath or their promise. How much can we make this sound like we're trying to be honest and sincere and before God and trying to make this serious, but if I need a way out, I can kind of skate by? And actually, the religious literature to this point among the rabbis got so crazy that they had their own section or their own kind of like section or area of documentation. Whole long list of ways that you could get out of, or ways to say an oath that later on you could get out of it. And it was even things like this. When you make an oath, if you swear by heaven or earth, then that's not binding. You can get out of that one. But if you swear an oath, and if you swear an oath by Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, that sounds, why would somebody do that? Well, it's the city of David. It's the city of God. So if you swear an oath, that kind of makes it sound like you're swearing one before God, but in actuality, you're not. And if you swear by Jerusalem, then you can kind of skate out of that one too. But then the literature also said something like this: but make sure, whatever you do then, that you don't swear an oath toward Jerusalem, because then that's serious and that's binding. Well, can you imagine how confusing this would get to the people at this point? Where they have all these different, so I can swear by this, but I can't swear by that. And you know what it ends up coming across? The old thing with children where it's cross my heart and hope to die, or cross my fingers behind my back. Do adults play those games too? Yeah, unfortunately, many times they do. And that's really what this was. I'm going to commit to something, but I've got my fingers crossed because I swore toward Jerusalem and not by Jerusalem or whatever, so I don't have to follow through on it. Ridiculous. And so Jesus is addressing this, and he makes it much more simplistic, as you would expect. He says, let's just cut to the chase here and make this much more easier to understand. Back again at verse 34. Again, Jesus has the authority to change the people's understanding because he knows God's mind, and he knows the intention for God's law. And Jesus is saying here that was never the intention of oaths, is for you could escape around a commitment. So I say unto you, with all authority that God has given me, just swear not at all. Forget the whole oath-taking thing. Neither by heaven, okay? You say, the rabbis say, you can get out of it if you swear by heaven. Well, no, you can't, because that's where God dwells. That's where he lives. So you're still swearing by God. Still important. Nor by the earth. You may think that somehow you're able to swear by creation or something weird like that. I don't know what that would even sound like. But he says that's his footstool. God created the earth, so you can't swear by that. Neither by Jerusalem or toward Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Now here's something interesting. Who is the great king? Well, it's going to be Jesus. And he will return one day. And I think he's saying something like this: don't swear by Jerusalem, that's my kingdom. And I'm the king. So don't swear by that either. All of these things God takes seriously. But then the weirdest one, strangest one here is this, right? 36, neither swear thou by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Well, what in the world is he talking about there? Now, some of us don't have as much to worry about it. This would not be as binding an oath just for the fact that some of us don't have as much hair on the top of our heads as other people do. So it wouldn't be as convincing. That's not really what he's talking about here. He's pointing out the strength, or whether you're young or whether you're old. Hair that's white, referring to the more elderly. The hair that's black, the young. And he's saying in this, basically, something like this. That you can't come up with a wise way to swear an oath, even in the wisdom of your youth, or the strength of your youth, or the wisdom of your age. You need to stop thinking that you can get around this whole concept of just saying what's on your heart and being honest. He's saying, you can't get around this no matter what your age, and you shouldn't be trying to be dishonest no matter who you are, no matter how well you think you can be dishonest or misrepresent yourself, young or old. You shouldn't be trying to do it at all. And so what's Jesus really saying here? He's saying oath-taking is unnecessary, and really it just needs to end. And if you think about that, it makes a lot of sense. God, in the Old Testament, established this oath-taking idea because people were so bent on being dishonest that God said, here's the law. If you take an oath because of the dishonesty in your hearts, I need a mechanism to help you to evaluate your propensity to be honest. So, here's an oath. If you're going to take it, you better follow through on it. And, of course, the people messed all that up. Well, today, and Jesus has pointed to this, I think, as well, is we don't have to worry about the law anymore, do we? Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit that helps us to be honest. We have the Holy Spirit that convicts when we say we're going to do something, when we make a promise toward other people, the Holy Spirit's there to remind us, that's serious. Be truthful. So let's not even mess around with the whole oath-taking thing. Let's eliminate that. And he's doing that here. Simply, verse 37, be faithful to your word, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Or in the ESV it says, let what you say be simply yes or no. For whatsoever is more than this, anything more than this, comes from the evil. And there's another translation that can be the evil one, and I think that's probably more accurate. That Jesus is saying, just be honest. Because dishonesty and lack of truthfulness comes from the evil one himself. And we're not on his team. You're not on his team. You belong to the city. You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and so dishonesty should not be a part of your life at all. So when you say something, mean what you say. Don't try to get around it. Don't try to be something or say something that you're not. He's saying here, be committed to honesty. And also, be careful what you promise. If you're going to make a promise to people, take that seriously, because you should want an honest testimony. It's one of the reasons, after reading this and studying it, that I've told our boys, I'm very careful. We rarely say, I promise I will do something at our house. Because when you make a promise, you have young children, they remember that, and they'll remind you. And so what we say is, if the Lord wills, we're going to try to do that. We'll see. That's a great phrase, by the way. We'll see. Just wait. You can say that a lot before. Then finally they get tired of it. Okay, all right, well, let's think through this and see if we can do that. But I rarely, if ever, say I promise, because God takes that so seriously, and I want them to be able to trust me. And if I'm running around breaking promises to people, then I'm breaking my trust with people, and I'm not a good example of a kingdom citizen. So we try to be careful about that in our house. Now, we're talking about oaths here. And at this point, you might say, okay, well, I get that. So, Pastor Brock, if I ever run into that temptation, I'll be sure to remember these verses. But I think what Jesus is saying in principle, we can expand here to a lot of other things. I think in principle, the heart attitude is one of honest living. And that has a lot of applications, right? How about lying? Just not telling the truth. Just for whatever reason, to your advantage, you don't tell the truth or you shade the truth or whatever. That's not a commitment to honesty. I'm giving examples here. How about little white lies? That's normally acceptable in even our religious circles in our society today and society as a whole. It's like, well, it was just a little white lie. It wasn't anything that big of a deal. And it was supposed to benefit that person, so it's okay. And for practically speaking, a lot of us can be tempted towards that. Yeah, you know, a little white lie, but I had to do it, but it's part for the greater good that I did that, so it's okay. And yet, when you measure it up against what Jesus is saying here, it's still dishonesty. It's not a commitment to the truth. How about partial truths? Misrepresenting yourself by not giving the whole truth of what you did in a specific circumstance. Now, I need to be clear on this, because I'm not saying, not recommending, that we should just always blurt out everything that's going on in our lives. I know some people on Facebook, and I'm not thinking of anybody in this room, okay? But especially when Facebook first came out and I got introduced to it, there were people that were literally blurting every part about their lives, every aspect of their schedule, even how they were toilet training their children and different things. And I'm just like, wow, that's way too much information. We don't need that much. Jesus is not saying here, in order to be honest, you have to tell people every little thing about you. And I'm not saying that either. Because sometimes it's just best, God expects us to be discerning. And people don't need to know every aspect of things going on in our lives in particular. But there is an aspect of this where sometimes we don't tell the whole truth because we're trying to misrepresent what we've done and misrepresent who we are. In that case, that's not a commitment to honesty, right? It's deceit in a way. Even exaggeration. You talk about the fisherman that goes out to fish and he ends up with a small fish and end up by the time he's done with his story after a couple days, it's like from this big to this big. And we all like, yeah, we understand. And we joke around and we understand that. But pastors even have to be careful that as we're giving illustrations and as we're talking about things, that we're not exaggerating what really happened. Making representation of something that happened a certain way. In reality, it wasn't quite like that, but man, it made a good illustration, so let's use it. People can do that in general. You know, this story, if I just added a few more things to it, would be a really good story. It's okay now, but I'm going to tell something that's really going to amaze them, and we exaggerate. We understand the temptation to do that. We all do. But is it a commitment to honesty? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Making promises you know you can't keep just to keep people liking you, which is kind of strange because if you start breaking your promises one after another, it's going to be harder for people to really respect you anyway. But people do that. Oh, I can do that, I can do that. And sometimes they want to do it, but in their heart they know there's no way they're ever going to commit, be able to accomplish that. But they want people to think well of them. So they distort reality. Even making too many commitments that you know you can't keep. Oh, I can help you with that. And oh, I can help you with that. And sometimes you're stretched too thin. And you know that you're not going to be able to do those things. And you know that it's not really honest for you to say that you can help out. Because you have no idea how you're going to do that thing. And yet, well, let's see if we can try. How about this? As I'm going through the list here, giving people the illusion that you support them when you really don't. We can do this in our relationships. Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, that's really neat. And yeah, I think that's a great, you know, I think you ought to try to do that. In reality, we're thinking in the back of our minds, that's crazy. I would never do that. But I want them to like me, and so I'm just going to, you know, say what I have to say to make them my friend. And I'll just tell them whatever I have to so that they'll continue the friendship. It's not really good grounds to have friendships on, by the way, if you have to distort reality and be deceitful in that. See how broad this actually can be when we're talking about commitment to honesty? How about distorting truth on social media? We talked a little bit about this morning. You see this all the time, and it's so easy to do, and we have to be careful. We have to, as honest people that are committed to honesty, we also have to be committed to finding the truth about things. And if we're going to share the truth, we better make sure it is the truth. Sometimes people send us things through email, Instagram, or Facebook, and we, oh, that sounds so good, and we pass it on to somebody else, and we haven't even checked to see if it's reality. And we're posting things even on our social media that we don't know is truth. And that can be a form of dishonesty, even though we haven't meant to do that. There's so many things that we could go on and on about. But we need to be people that when people look at us, they know we have a commitment to the truth, a commitment to honesty, a commitment that when we say something, that when we represent ourselves a certain way, that's us. That's who we are. And I'm not trying to make myself somebody that I'm not. My yes is yes. My no is no. All of this is what Jesus is talking about here. As we finish up, though, there is one more thing that needs to be addressed on this whole oath-taking thing. There are some cults and some different groups who have gone to the other extreme and said this, that, well, since Jesus says we're not allowed to give any oaths, then we're not ever going to give an oath, not in in a courtroom or, you know, the presidential oath. That's going against what Jesus wants us to do. So how do we address that? Is Jesus saying then that many of the oaths that we take, that we are expected to take in our society today, that they're wrong? Now, if we had time, I'd love to get a little feedback and see what your thoughts are on that. But for time's sake, we'll just look at some verses here that will explain. And I can give you one simple illustration that we'll all understand, that will help us to understand that Jesus isn't referring to absolutely every oath. Because whenever someone gets married, what is that? That's an oath. It's a commit, and it's a very important oath. I commit, I vow. That's why we call them the marriage vows. I vow to be with you for the rest of my life. And nobody has a problem with that oath. You know, that's what it is. Jesus obviously doesn't have a problem with that oath either. And I think what he's saying in this passage is that's why that one's so important. Make sure you stay faithful. And maybe he still has that in mind as he's just been talking about divorce. And now he's saying, that oath that you gave to your wife or to you, husband, don't ever throw that aside. Be faithful. Commit. Be faithful for a lifetime to the vow you made to your spouse. It's that important. But there's also other indications. Do you know, let's, Hebrews 7, 19 through 22. We'll just look at these real quick. As far as how to answer this, if somebody were to ever bring this up. I don't know if I mentioned specifically what cults, but the Jehovah's Witness feel this way about oaths, I guess. So Hebrews 7, 19 through 22. And it says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And insomuch as not without an oath he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Now there's a lot to that, and my only point with that is that even God swears oaths. And he did that in connection with sending his son as the new Melchizedek, after the priest after the order of Melchizedek. Even God swears oaths that he's going to do things. Now God, we know, is able to fully keep his oaths. And so, you know, he's got an advantage on us, obviously. But as our example, we can't say across the board then that oath-taking is wrong. There's a couple more things. We have examples of Paul who would take oaths. Romans 1, 8 through 10. And then we're going to look at Galatians 1:20. Romans 1:8 through 10. And he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Here we go. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Paul takes an oath here and says, "As God is my witness, I pray faithfully for you all." Galatians 1:20 is one more of these. He's describing his travel plans and things that had happened. He's giving his bio to the people there in Galatia. Verse 18 through 20, "Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not." And Paul again gives an oath here. And so this helps us, gives us the understanding that God is not saying across the board that we can never take oaths. There are oaths like in the courtroom and the presidential oath as he's sworn into office and these things that are very important. And really what Jesus' teaching here is highlighting, this is very serious. These people have taken an oath of office. Politicians ought to listen to this a little bit more. They've taken an oath of office. It's very serious. Be honest in all that you do. Courtroom is a very serious oath that you're committing to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And do they still swear in the Bible sometimes? Sometimes they do, and I'm glad for that. But that's a very serious thing. Jesus takes that seriously. So, to round this all out, the point of all of this, and that Jesus is trying to point out to us, is that we need to take honesty seriously. We need to commit ourselves to saying what's on our hearts, being real with people, and not deceptive. You know, it's true, isn't it? The truth is harder to seek out than ever in our world today. Everybody's distorting. News headlines, all of this, there's so much distortion, it takes a while. By the way, I do believe that the truth can be found through God's help and prayer, but it takes time. And people also, they practice a pragmatic honesty. I'll be honest as long as it benefits me, but as soon as it might hurt me or my reputation, then we're going to be a little bit deceitful. But as children of the eternal kingdom, truth should be our anthem. We should declare truth. We should be truthful people. In the end, here's, I think, what Jesus is saying. The words of kingdom citizens should be able to be trusted. So how are you doing in that? Are you trustworthy? Are you keeping your promises? Probably just better, unless you have to, just to not do the oath thing, as Jesus said. But we should live honest lives where people can trust us. As believers, if you lose our trust and people catch you in a lie, what great damage and hurt we can do to the testimony of Jesus Christ. So be true to honesty. God is honest. God is truth. Be true to that testimony. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to live honest lives. To let our yes be yes and our no be no. To be sincere. And again, Lord, we think we understand. We don't have to then blurt out every single thing about our lives to people. But we do have to be honest about who we are and honest in our word that people can trust us. And so we are a great representation of you who is all truth and full honesty. So help us to represent Jesus like that in our lives and be a good example of him to our world today. In your name we pray.